There's an old hermetic saying, if all of this stuff is true, why doesn't it work for you? And it's like, the answer is because you don't believe it. It's not part of you. You're still in that duality of here and there. Reality, dream, even lucid dream, physical reality, day and night. All of these dualities are taking place. What the hermeticist tries to do is to hold those two things at exactly the same level all the time. There's, we can identify differences, but that there's the only thing that makes it differentiate is my desire to be in one or the other. But in reality, ultimate reality, there's no difference between the two. We're talking about this book, right? So, and how good the, or we think how good the articulation of these very difficult terms is in the, is in this book, at least on first flush, it looks that way, right? So, but here's the thing, right? I'm constantly asking myself these questions, and I'm constantly asking myself, how would I articulate this to people, from a very low level to a very high level, and will it hold water? Will my understanding and my arguments for this hold water to whatever degree? But here's the thing, when other people do that, they're always expecting the information to come from the beyond or whatever, right? And so, and sure, I mean, that could, if you're really that tuned in or whatever, there's a possibility, but why does that have to happen if it's already, if somebody's already produced something like that? And, this just randomly fell into my hands through you.
Right.
I mean, we could say randomly because, normally
No.
I'm the one telling you to
the weird thing was too, was like, I was literally like, just, I was spent for the day on my work, mm-hmm. and I was just like, I'm just gonna like, I don't even know. I was pulled up my phone, looked through my YouTube feed to see if there's anything interesting. And there's this guy who's like, I think he was like an Indian guy or whatever. And he's talking about, new thought and creating your own reality and stuff like that. And 9 times out of 10, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
there's so much of it out there, you just keep going.
Listen to something else or whatever. I don't usually look for more and more of that stuff. Cause like, whatever. I have a lot of resources for that stuff. So I don't, but for whatever reason, I was just like, okay. Click on it, listen to it. And he starts talking and I didn't really strongly resonate with what he was saying that much, but I was still just kind of engaged and listening. And I watched like almost the whole video, and I normally wouldn't do that. But when he said this guy's name, Vadim Zeland or whatever, I was like, that's weird. Looked it up on Amazon, found the book. Then I was like, oh, then I found a guy on YouTube reading the book, and I started listening to it. And I was like, wow, this is good.
Yeah.
So it's just funny how that stuff.
But that's how can that, happen, this is like, that, the idea of synchronicity or whatever. But my point is that if you constantly are asking your subconscious those questions of how can I articulate this, how can I make my understanding about this more clear, and so that I can utilize it for myself, and then, put it in a way that it will help other people, if that's what we're trying to do. So you never know where that information is going to come from.
Yeah.
It's like what your normal routine would be to normally just like bypass that shit, because I got plenty of that. I don't need more people telling me. And then even that's not resonating so much, but why am I still listening to it? Then all of a sudden you get the guy's name and it's like, oh, bleep, bleep, and you go off to, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, we could say it's random, but it could have been complete bullshit too.
Right.
You could have gotten to the, and be like, no, this is bogus.
Yeah.
Or whatever,
I mean, so. And even when I start to listen to the book, I still listen to it, like you said, with a, not a cynical, but a skeptical attitude, where
Definitely.
It's like, I've been listening to the whole book, and the whole time I'm listening to it, I have my ear out for like anything that's like
incongruent
or doesn't fit with, the things that I've come to understand and that we've talked about and,
right.
Whatever. And, but everything was just like, okay, that's completely in line with everything that I understand at this point, and that's actually presenting it with some nuances that are clarifying rather than confusing, and it's interesting. Oh, okay, wow, yeah, oh, you know, and on and on. So yeah.
Right, and so for me, you know, my process now will be to go through the technical book and go through, you know, the background information and all, you know, the whole book and the pieces that I'm not, you know, if it's confirmation, it's confirmation, but can I rewrite it in a way that is just the points for me to make sure that I understand what he's talking about and can make point A go to point B and so on and so forth. But then, you know, and so my, you know, in this case, I think I'm going to enjoy this because, like a couple of other authors that I know and have used, you know, once I get through the technical books, right, like here's my theory, here's my way to express that, here's my way to engage the process to see if it actually has legs and can produce what I'm saying it will produce, and doing that and then saying, oh, okay. And then, you know, the last step for me is like something that I normally have to pull from all different places to make it a little bit more concrete is, you know, that's when I go to the novels and say like, oh, here's the dramatic representation of that, you know, like, you know, the movies that I like, that I've enjoyed over time, or books, right? From Castaneda to Dune to, you know, all of these different ones. I'm like, my mind links to those parts in the book, which are technically fantasy, right? But, you know, the way that I look at that, it's sort of, yes, the event is fantasy, but the way that it's put together and articulated is sort of like a distilled truth. And when it's represented in a drama, it actually has more feeling to it than a technical manual that you're going to use on your own. So it actually brings the expression from, you know, understanding and the application of it, it actually brings that, you know, your expression of that into, for me, into a much higher level, because now you have this dramatic model. It's sort of like a sacred drama then at that point.
But do you have like specific things that you go back to and you'll like watch like a movie again or something, like, and yeah, look,
or even just a scene. Like I have a whole bunch of scenes, you know, that I'll go back and just say like, yep, you know, this one. I mean, that's one of the best parts about YouTube, right? You can just grab a specific scene from a movie and just go save, save in this file, save, you save. And so I have like, oh, here's all my references for, you know, intoning, boom. And then here's all these scenes in different movies or chapters in different books where it talks about intoning and
the voice.
And the voice,
and,
right.
And speaking things into being. And
correct, yeah. And so I've made all these sort of dramatic territories that distill that into something that has some feeling behind it rather than just the technical parts, which are kind of dry. You know, and so it's sort of like that's easier for me to sort of give it a little bit more of a boost than just repeat, 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 repeat until it becomes, you know, you get better at it, yes, but at the same time, you know, what's your goal? You know, it's like sometimes it's hard to articulate a specific goal with a specific technique, right? It's like what, you know. But if I have a dramatic event in mind, even if it's not, you know, a truth, right, in the way that we would think of it, then it makes it easier for me to sort of get behind it and say like, oh yeah, that I can do that. You know, it's like, and so whether I do try to produce it here or a combination of producing it here and producing it in a lucid dream or whatever other technique or combining it with something to produce that effect and seeing if I can get to that place, then, you know, it for me, it makes it easier.
Mm-hmm. You know? So like one of the things that I was asking you about earlier and that he talks about in this book is the idea of like the difference between like inner and outer intention, right? Mm. And so he was saying like when you have, you know, inner intention is like, you know, this kind of idea of force, right? Or like
the will.
Your will to, you know, make the world conform to your, right. desire through, like, you know, it, you know, a strong desire, action, you know, force basically, and outer intention being something that's much more difficult to articulate, but that can be experienced in lucid dreaming, which is like, how do you make something happen in a lucid dream? And can you get so proficient at making what you want occur in a lucid dream that you begin to live more and more like that in physical reality? So like, my question to you was like, how when you want something specific to happen in a lucid dream, because you're very good at that, like, how do you do that? Like, what's the process that you go through? Like, what are the feelings? What's the intent? Like, how does that work? Because that is what you're talking about, right?
Right.
Approximating being able to do that, living life more and more like that here.
Right. So, and I think it's to me, everything you said was spot on. It's just that there's a bit of a nuance in that second part. Like, how, you know, again, without being mechanistic, how does that, and this has been a question of yours for a long time, and a lot of people, you know, how do you transfer from the lucid dream state to the waking state? You know, how do you get that process?
Well, even for me, like, the, you know, working on lucid dreaming has been an indication of like how I'm approaching energy work on the physical side with that kind of force idea. And the lucid dreaming highlighted my, you know, the
tendency.
My tendency. Yeah, not just my, like, more than my tendency, like my pattern, my habit.
Yeah.
Like, that's my attitude towards everything, is just like, it has to be for, you know, and even like in one, you know, you, like, we talked about one time, a recurring theme in dreaming for me was like these kind of like epic battle scenes, right? And so, like, and to me, it's kind of like whenever I think about like my dreams or my goals, like I my first response or my initial kind of position stature to take is like, this is an epic battle of like me against the world. Like, I have to like pull this off and like make this happen. It's like this like epic thing, like, but there's going to be these like difficult, challenging forces that I'm going against, and like, so I'm gonna have to get in there, and, you know, like, and so, and in a weird way, it's like, then the reality, then the dream, then the role, then the script is playing out according to my expectations and my attitude towards it. Like, it's this perfect like envelope feedback loop of like, oh well, that's the way that you, that's what you're bringing to it. That's the resonance. That's the frequency that you're operating at. And so that's the situation. That's how you're going to play that whole thing out. So, and, but then like going into lucid dreaming, like achieving, once I would become lucid, it was like, okay, that same attitude. Now I'm lucid. Now I gotta grab control and like, and hold that control and like move to this place and like just totally not have any control and wake up. So, you know,
right.
And so I don't know, the you know, taking on a different, it's almost like, as somebody that's very much like locked into that like way of thinking about it, it's very difficult to conceive of a less forceful way of approaching anything, like whether it's lucid dreaming or, you know, being successful in like physical life or whatever. So
sure, sure. And I mean, sometimes us talking about it, it I think it seems, even to me, you know, but definitely to others, that I'm saying both of those things at the same time, you know, because I'm kind of hard about this stuff, you know. It's
right,
like, I'm
right,
not the easygoing
right, right,
person
right.
that, you know, like, oh, it's all good. No, it's not all good. You know, it's like, you know, it's good if you say it's good, you know. But there's a certain amount of effort that needs to be done. But I think it's more what you're talking about is a, you know, a conditioning that we've had in life here. And, you know, that this is the way, you know, we've been so indoctrinated to that and have expressed it you know, almost unconsciously, that we take it for granted so much. It's sort of like asking the fish, you know, find water. Yeah, it's like, what's water? You know, it's like, you know, it's the environment that it's in. It just, it swims, it does whatever, but it's like, it doesn't really understand that it's the medium that it's all surrounding all the time. It's life, right? And so it just becomes the way that it does things. And so, and the same thing for us with that, like here we're very entrained to force versus force. Right, it's like
me against physical, the world, against the situation. Yeah. I got to get mine.
Me being small and the world being big, and now there's definitely a differentiation between those two things. And so, even if you could get to the point of complete understanding, and you know, and understanding doesn't mean belief, because belief isn't just, you don't choose belief, right? Belief comes from consistent results, comes from consistent taking action in whatever way and having that result, you know, the results that are produced being replicable on a regular basis, right? That produces the belief. It's sort of like, and I always use the children tying shoes when they get to that place, right? It's the same kind of phenomena where, you know, right now you tie your shoes and you think it's a physical act and that there's no disparity there, right? That you're against the shoelace or whatever it is, but you have no, if you still have tying shoes, right? You need to go to the store. You just put your shoes on and you go to the store. You don't think about tying your shoes. There's no question in your mind that you're not going to be able to tie your shoes, that there's any question about tying your shoes, right? Mm. But when you were a little kid, it was like, oh, I'm going to have to tie my shoes. My dad wants me to tie my shoes by myself. Oh, it's like, okay, make the bunny ears, and then the bunny goes through the hole, and it looks perfect, and then it falls apart on the first step, and the dad goes, oh, you know, let me do that, because we got to get out of here, you know, or whatever. And it's like, you know, so there's a certain amount of learned, you know, not just learned helplessness that you're going to do that, but you have to, you have to do it many times to produce the same result, to get to a place where you believe you can tie your shoes.
So the effort that you're talking about, that you constantly refer to, is not an effort of like force in the execution, but in a
it may culminate in that, but it's also
repetition of the exercises,
right,
and the discipline to do so.
Right, which is more of a, you know, a mental construct that you're, you know, stepping into, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, and it's one that can be, people don't want to go there spiritually, but it's the same, you know, my premise is always that the same rules that apply to business, that apply to relationships, that apply to, you know, your health, is the same exact, you know, rules that apply to spirituality as well. Right? There's, you can look at it with a set of metrics that you design yourself or you adopt from somebody else and say like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to get to this stage. And if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do these things. And it's going to bring me to this stage within a certain parameter of time, depending on how much ability I have and how much effort I put into it. And it's reproducible. And you see that there's a constant, you know, maybe not constant, it's probably not the best way, but there's an, you know, up and down of it, but that you're progressing forward, you're getting better and better at it, and it's taking you less time, and it's becoming your belief system, so that if somebody says you can relax your body to the point of profound relaxation where your senses are offline and your mind is awake and aware, but your body and senses are completely offline, you know, everything is internal instead of external, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, when we are talking about this and that idea of the, you know, internal intention as opposed to external intention, how those two things are sort of, you know, how in the lucid dream, what is it in the lucid dream that makes you, you know, sort of transition to, you know, being able to bring closer to the ability of being in a lucid dream and having the your exterior environment, physical environment, sort of be in that same place, be like a lucid dream.
And what is your process for like how do you actually manifest something in a lucid dream?
For me, it's gone through a number of stages, but I think that the way that I do it now is that I expect it to happen. You know, I'm not even expecting it to happen. It's happening. It's happening all the time.
And I'm just
casually moving into it because I want to. It's sort of like I have the urge to go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom. I find the bathroom. It's not like a question in my head other than like, where's the bathroom if I'm in a foreign place and I don't know where I am, you know, but it's not like, do I want to, you know, there's like that questioning part of it is not
and
there
you have
anymore.
No, yeah, you have no, is this going to happen? Is this not going to happen?
No, there's no
you
question
have no,
for me
like,
at this point.
I'd really like to be able to do that. I'd really try to make this happen. And you just glow, you just kind of, what?
So sometimes I'll question myself in the lucid dream, right? Like, which I do here as well. I question my, you know, but I'm in my subconscious, so I'm speaking it out. Right,
is in the dream.
In the dream,
yeah.
Right, and saying, you know, what's it like to be walking on the moon or whatever it is?
You say that out loud.
I say that out loud, and you know, the response will come back. But usually, what happens is I'm walking on the moon. You know, so it's all about the experience because that's what it's really about, right? It's like I can have it explained to me or whatever, but it's not. It's about the experience myself. Like, what is my experience walking on the moon? Not, you know, what was it like for somebody else or what was it like, you know, you could do that, but it's a whole different, you know, question than what I just asked.
Right.
So in order for me to really understand that, it's like I'm placing myself in the middle of that experience. And just by asking for it, you know, I'm there and I'm really expecting that. And it's like there's, you know, you could have a slower transition or a faster transition. Usually now it's just sort of instantaneous. You know, it's like my next step is that I'm actually walking across the moon, you know, or whatever it would be. So, but I think I think that's really what we're talking about between the interior and the exterior intention.
Is or that, inner and outer.
Inner
yeah,
and outer,
as he
right.
refers to
as
it
he
in
refers
the Transurfing
So,
book.
You know, there's an old hermetic saying, you know, if all of this stuff is true, why doesn't it work for you? And it's like, the answer is because you don't believe it. It's not part of you. You're still in that duality of here and there. You know, reality, dream, you know, even lucid dream, physical reality. You know, day and night, all of these dualities are taking place. What the hermeticist tries to do is to hold those two things at exactly the same level all the time. There's, you know, we can identify differences, but that there's the only thing that makes it differentiate is my desire to be in one or the other, you know. But in reality, ultimate reality, there's no difference between the two. It's just a choice, you know. Which one I'm going to experience at that time.
So do you do that during the day then? Are you?
I try to.
I mean, asking your subconscious those questions, like so if you have the desire to make a situation turn out a specific way in physical reality, you use the same technique that you would in a lucid dream?
And I think that's the key.
Which is what? You literally say, like, what would it be like if this situation...
Not even if, like... What is it like
for this situation
to
turn
to be
out
like this?
To work effortlessly or
to, be this.
To produce this result that I'm looking for? Or
what is it like for me to experience whatever? This patient completely healed and laughing and joking with me, like, how'd you do that? Or what did you do? I feel
and you,
great.
And at the same time, you're also... You're letting go of the, like in that moment where you ask that question, you've learned to do it with a certain kind of lightheartedness, right?
That's
you're
the
not,
childlike effort,
you're
right?
not,
That's...
But you're not like attached to like, oh wow, like I really need to like heal this patient and like, oh man, like I'm gonna feel really bad if I don't, and like, and you know, and
this is their last chance. It's like, the bigger that you make it, you know, this sort of life or death scenario, which we do with a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah.
The bigger that we do that, the more resistance you're putting up to, you know, the event that you want to experience.
Yeah.
You're making the barrier longer, thicker, higher. You know what I mean?
It's so like our biggest barrier is like all of our emotional
angst.
Around the things that we want and feel like we need and feel like we don't have and feel like our lives would be better with, and our cause, all the, you know, problems that we have. That's like, it's literally like the emotional attachment that we like put on the intensity with which we treat every situation is like one of the major things that's like literally holding it in place.
Probably the major thing that's holding it in place. That's the glue that's holding it all together. You know, and so of course, also combined with everybody else's glue that's holding it together, because it's a consensual reality.
Especially right? When like you're harping on aspects of your life, especially when you're like externalizing the reason why certain situations are the way that they are, right? So like when you're saying like, oh, like it's the fucking government's fault that like this situation is this way, then you're feeding that whole mass of energy that's like, that's fixing the emotional mass that's like holding that thing in place, instead of like removing yourself emotionally from it and distancing, you're saying like, ah, I'm completely responsible for my experience, and my emotional attachment to each situation is what keeps me fixed in that place. And if I could just let all that go and just simply ask myself, like you're saying, what is it like to be in a place where that doesn't exist, or what is it like to be in a position where I'm completely fulfilled or really happy, or what's it like to turn out, what's it like for this situation to turn out this way or whatever, and to, you know, be flexible enough mentally and emotionally to entertain those ideas instead of being driven to focus on, like, because it's strange,
right.
Like,
it's hard, you know, because it's, you know, we hear all these little, you know, which are, again, it's that dichotomy for me of like, okay, you know, do I disagree with this, you know, with some of the, you know, like affirmations and things like that, like just let it go, or it is what it is, or any of these things, right? It's like, I don't disagree with it on that level. I disagree that most people don't understand the underpinnings of what that is. You know, like, yeah, you can just let it go, but we know in practicality how hard it is to let something go. You know, you have it ruminating in your head.
Yeah.
You can't help but worry about it, right? Because it's important to you.
Right.
If it wasn't important to you, then there would be no worry about it, right? It's like, am I going to find cake when I get home? Well, you know, I could always stop and get cake someplace, or, you know, there's these other options that pop up. But if I go home and there's no cake, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, or it could matter a lot and could ruin your evening.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, for some people it could.
Sure.
Seriously, you know, or put in whatever you want instead of cake, right?
Right.
But it's like, if that's, you know, if it's sort of like, oh, it's like, I wonder what it would be like to have cake when I get home.
God, just even the thought of like treating things that lightly is like, I mean, on the one hand, it like makes me laugh. On the other hand, it makes me feel like crying, because like it would be so nice to feel the freedom to really truly embody that level of like lightheartedness and freedom around like what could happen in the next moment, or how things could transition in the next moment in different areas of my life. So it's like, it's
and there's the caveat, right? Is that the reason that I harp so much on lucid dreaming is because you can do that over and over again in that state where it becomes so common.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes your new paradigm. And so it's not the mechanism that we're trying to explain, like somehow magically that starts happening here in the waking reality, right? Physical reality. It's that in doing it so often, when you come here, you start expressing yourself and entering the world in a way that's very similar to that. That becomes more than this training has become for you. that idea of, can I be lighthearted about all this and not really care either way and just say, you know, basically like, what would it have been like if I, you know, went there and did this, you know? It's sort of like, you know, in Lucid Dream, you'd be like, oh, what would it be like if I had, you know, I don't know, pick your, you know, you know, what if my cohort in crime was John Cleese, you know? It's like, and it was, you know, fantastically funny, and he just had all the best quips for everything that we encountered, and, you know, would it get me through this in a better way?
Who's that?
John Cleese, he's the one of the guys from Monty Python.
Oh,
one of the main character actors, you know, for that. And, you know, or but it could be, you know, fill in your favorite persona of somebody, right? Knowing that it's an aspect of me, it's not really him, but that from all of my watching of his things and sort of getting the flavor of his humor and also being able to access, you know, now we're getting a little deeper, access the, you know, collective of all of his information and having that, you know, construct, you know, interact with me and my world that I've created in that way would be friggin' hilarious, right? And so, I mean, to me, it would be absolutely hilarious, right? Somebody else might want to have, you know, Raquel Welch or whatever hanging out by their side, you know, whatever it is. And so, but the idea is that the more that that happens in the lucid dream state, the more I can, you know, it becomes, maybe at first it's more forced, I have to think about it here, but like, if that really, it's easy to gauge, right? If that really is the crux of it, I have to have some experience doing that in a place where the results are very apparent right away.
Right, instantly, yeah.
Yeah, so, or at least it blooms into that, right? And I can go, whoa, okay, you know, and it's not like, I don't want to be and I don't want to be Mr. Spock, right? Where I'm completely emotionally detached from everything. I still want to enjoy it, right? I mean, that's the whole thing, but it's sort of like the getting to it is, it's a given. It's not something that
right.
I'm emotionally and engaged in to make it happen.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it doesn't mean that I don't have effort here, right? It's those things are not mutually exclusive, right?
Right.
It's not like, you know, carefree and haphazard and blah, 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 and I don't care and I don't do and I'm just waiting for things to happen to me here, you know? It's like I still, you know, do my best.
But honestly, like, that's one of the things, like, from the beginning of us, like, working together, like, that I've always, I think, been drawn to in the sense that, like...
And pissed off by.
And pissed, yeah. And so, honestly, yeah, like in some ways, you know, yeah, it's because it's like, it's fucking frustrating from the outside. Cause like, you know, like, but you know, like, so honest, obviously, like if you're, you know, whatever, being mentored by somebody or, you know, working with somebody or learning from somebody or whatever, it's like, you're obviously doing it because you're like, oh, I would like to be like that person in these ways. Like they demonstrate qualities and speak about their experience or demonstrate that their experience is such and such a way. And it's like, I want to entrain to that. I want to learn how they did that and be more like that. And like one of the things that like I always, that stands out to me and always has is like, it's like, and that I've come to understand, you know, more closely from like working together with you on To Be Silent is like, you, regardless of what stage we've been at with the project, you've always treated it the same way. And I've always treated it my way, which is like, you know,
we're gonna make this, we're gonna
okay, next step, now we're gonna like get to the narrative, you know, and like, and oh, this part's really frustrating or this part's really hard and like rah, and like I, it's like, and like, so it's like doubly like frustrating because it's like, how are you like, because I know that like you have like, you know, like at each stage, the challenges that we've experienced, like building and creating to be silent, is like, you know, like you've had your version of challenges and I've mm-hmm. had my version of challenges, yep. but you, it's like you always are able to like maintain that same attitude of like, regardless of like what's going on or like how like crazy things seem or like how challenging things seem, it's always just like, yeah,
here we go.
Here we go. Like, whatever, you know, like we're moving toward the goal. It's fine. Whatever. No problem. Like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, what's going to happen next? It's like, yeah. It's always very like joyful and you're able to, like, again, like you said, like I always come to things like with that, like, kind of like, okay, you know, but like you always dissipate that so quickly, whether it's on one of the live calls or when I'm talking to you in person, it's like, you're just like, you like joke around with me, like right away from the beginning. I'm like, God damn it, Brad. He's so lighthearted about everything. How does he do that?
Stop making me feel good. I don't want to feel bad, damn it.
Yeah, like exactly. But then I'm self-reflective enough to be like, I don't actually want to feel bad. Like I hate that I feel bad, but I can feel the part of myself that's attached to feeling bad or right. angsty or like right. aggressive or like whatever.
Because it's
like,
what we know. You know, it's the majority of
what
we know.
As if that was going to make things different or move. Correct. You know.
Because that's what we've been told. That's what we've been
conditioned
not taught,
to.
But told, you know, that, you know, if you just apply yourself more, if you're up to the challenge, if you do this, if yeah. you do, you know, if whatever, if you, you know, put more force on it until your force overwhelms the force that's resisting you, then.
And my attitude is like, I can go longer. I can yeah. do more. I can work yeah. until I'm exhausted and then I collapse and then I'm like, whatever.
It's like, <"Arr.">
yeah, exactly.
It's like, no,
it's not good.
That's it. You see, so I'm not denying that the you know, the people that say, like, it's not the destination, it's the journey. It's like, but the destination, in some ways, you know, influences the journey, right? And so depending on what your destination is, it sort of sets up these, you know, almost like the journey becomes a decision tree. Like, here's all these options and you pick one, and then it's sort of like all these other ones collapse. It's quantum physics, right? It's like, so once I put my focus on one part of the journey and experience it in whatever way to the fullest of my ability without, it's that weird dichotomy again, right? Like fully engaging that part of the journey, but already in my mind, knowing that I'm always going to get to the destination. It's not a question.
Right, like, yeah, like.
It's
like,
not a question.
Like,
and so it's holding those two things at the same place. I mean, that's where, you know, the techniques and practices come in, right? Because that's the place where you practice those little bits of that and get it down so that you're able to hold those things at the same time. And so you can fully enjoy or be terrified or whatever, fully engaged in whatever part of the journey you're in, but at the same time knowing that, well, I'm going to get to the destination. So it's not
but
really
then
a question.
That's the thing that I think people don't have is that,
it's
and
tough.
That's the thing that produces the angst is like, will I get there? If I don't get there, that means I suck or I failed or yeah. like I, you know, I, you know, fell down on, you know, my dreams. I'm not the person that I thought I could have been or could have become, or I wish that I had
sure.
fulfilled that, or, you know, or I'm unhappy in this situation. I would be happy there if I could just get to that thing. And,
you know, one of my things is always telling people, look, you know, one of the underlying things that can sabotage anybody's process, right, or, you know, achieving a goal is thinking that the goal that they want is the last goal that they'll ever want. Mm. I think this is an huge mistake and a huge barrier that comes up for people, you know, in a weird way. It's very sort of under the currents, you know, it's because they want to be focused totally on that. But just the idea that, you know, it's sort of like that idea, if I could just be here, everything else would be okay. Mm. If I could just have this much money, everything would be okay. If I could just have this relationship, everything else would fall into place, you know? And I think that that's a completely, that's a complete falsehood, right? That it's, that we never, we have those places, those destinations are sort of respites, right? It's like going to a party, and then you go to a party, and then you got to clean up after the party, and then you're thinking, when's the next party going to be, right? And so it's like, it's never like, oh, that was the last party I'll ever have, and I wish I could just stay there forever, and now there's more angst and more like trying to you're grasping, right? Trying to hold it in place, like this is the best moment of my life, you know? It's like, look, you know, I mean, I could be really crude here, but but the idea is that, you know, like trying to grasp for those things, you know, hold things, it's already going against the flow of the universe, right? Everything moves, everything changes, everything moves. So I can either, you know, struggle and flounder in that flow, and it's going to push me where it wants to push me, or I can learn to swim and maneuver in that flow and guide, you know, and feel the currents and all of that and guide myself where I want to go. Mm-hmm. Miss the big rocks, you know, those kinds of things, right? And so find the eddies where I can take a rest, get a breather. Okay, now I'm going to get back in the flow again, right? I can't just miraculously pull myself out of that place, right? So even if people, you know, take anybody's highest aspiration, you know, I don't care what it is, you know, they want to live forever, they want to, you know, become this, that, you know, all powerful or, you know, financial billionaire, whatever, you know, that's not the end, you know, that's, and if they treat it as though it were the end, it moves it farther away.
Why?
Because it's not congruent with the way the whole structure is set up. Everything moves. Everything moves. And even if you had every, you know, my thing is that even if you've had every single experience that the being human has to offer on this earth, that there are infinite number of human or beyond human experiences that you could experience somewhere else, you know. So once you're done with here, it's not like, oh, I get to go rest on a cloud now, you know. It's like, no. You're going to have another experience that you're, you know, that's going to open up for you that we can't even conceive of in this form here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, whatever that is, I'm not saying it's, you know, and it's probably, there's an infinite number of those things, you know, paths that people could
what
take.
Do you think that, what do you think, how do you think that you, man, that light's so beautiful out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice,
huh? But the fall color on the golden leaves, crazy. do you think, I mean, for me, it's kind of like, how did you get to the place where you really feel that? Because like, I just feel so conditioned to that like my habitual thought pattern just keeps coming back to those subtly invasive emotional attachments to future states that I project to be ends, like perfect situations or achieving this goal, becoming this person, having these things, having things be this way, you know, like, you know, whatever. And it's like, it's so, I don't know if that's just me or if other people feel like that as well. I mean, I'm sure some.
I think everybody feels that way. And I think it's a matter of perspective the way that you as an artist thinks about perspective, right? Like I didn't really get that until you were showing me, it was just some kind of arbitrary thing where you were showing me like, oh, this lens on the camera can, you know, like if the foreground is fuzzy, then the back part can be clear and vice versa. And like, you can find the right balance where it's like, it gives the perception of something different depending on where the focal length is and the perception of the person, right? So, and I think that, you know, that that's the case with this stuff too. You know, it's, we can use other people's experience as a sort of a guideline, but it won't be our exact experience because we're fingerprints, right? We're all in different places, not better or worse, just different. And so, and my thing has always been, whatever scenario comes up, A, I'm going to do my best, whatever that entails, and B, I'm going to swim in this environment. I'm going to try to become fluent in this environment, in this situation, in every situation, whether it seems negative from the outside, even negative to me, right? It's like, how do I then, you know, can I become more and more adaptable so that, you know, no matter what situation I'm in, I can turn it into something, I can enjoy it and turn it into something that I want.
Yeah, and like, God, like, you engage things like that. Like, I just said, like, I mean, knowing you, like, socially, going to, like, you know, a friend's house, or you're going to go for dinner, or you're going to play with your band or whatever.
Right.
Like, you just, like, walk around with this, like,
here comes more fun.
Exactly. Like, it's like, motherfucker, like, how does he do that? Like, it's just always, it's never just like, oh, like, you know, like, because I know
and
a lot of people
like
feel like,
oh, glasses either, you know.
No,
it's like, you
no,
know
no,
there
no,
are
no.
some things that I don't
no.
like,
yeah,
but
sure.
I engage them the same way. Like, if I, you know, like when I'm doing the edits for stuff or whatever, right, it's like I'll go in there, you know, it's like,
you have
I don't,
to edit text.
Text.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy it. It's tedious for me. But at the same time, I'm like, if I do this well, I'm going to learn how to articulate this in a better way so that somebody somewhere will understand it in the way that I mean it, so that it will help them in their life, you know? So, and so that makes me happy. And so it's like, even though I'm not thrilled with the prospect of doing that or even the doing of it, it's like my end result that I'm constantly putting out there is that this will really solidify my understanding of this process or whatever I'm doing and the methods that I'm trying to teach people, and that will give me better articulation, which even if it touches one person, that's enough. You know, I'm hoping that it does more, but I'm, you know, if it even touches one person and propels them into this, you know, into the scenario, or gives them the idea that it's even possible that they're revved up enough to engage it and try to suss it out on their own, then it's worth it. You know, so it's like that, you know, I'm in that place, like thinking, you know, sort of like that's, and I've had this, not to the extent that Jordan Peterson has, but that people have come to me and said, like, man, when you explained it in this way, I knew that, but I didn't have the words to formulate it, you know, and really get it down. But it just makes so much sense to me now. And I'm like, oh, great. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. You know, dude, you're on the path, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. that's good. You know, so now apply it and see, you know, what opens up for you in this world. I mean, that's really, it's an unfolding, right? It's, yeah. That's the idea. It's like all these little nuggets of experience are out there. We just need to, you know, we tap on them like a touch screen and we let them unfold, and then we step into them and say like, oh, well, you know, how can I play here? How can I, you know, what am I going to get out of this? What do I want out of this? Mm. You know, it's like, and being able to maneuver in that in a competent way, and maybe even hopefully in a fluid way, lets me experience more and more of it. So I'm getting more of the essence and totality of it rather than just like, you know, a sort of distant observation of it. And it's not just a a theoretical construct, right? I want to be able to engage it. And so for me, engaging that river is learning how to swim. And all the techniques are aspects of learning how to swim, because, you know, when we break it down, it's a complex process, right? I mean, how do you lift your arm? How do you do this? How do you do that? Is it the same swimming in calm seas as it is in rough seas? Is it the same, you know, all of those things? There's all these variations, and sometimes variations that you would never comprehend until it happens to you. And so do you have enough experience to not panic in those moments? You know, all of those things are important. And so it's an exploration of yourself as much as it is an exploration of other. It's like, I believe that there's a direct relationship between knowing yourself truly and what you're allowed to explore in a good way.
What do you mean?
Other.
What do you mean by explore in a good way of other?
Well, like a lucid dream scenario, right? Like most people's lucid dream is, oh my God, I'm lucid. Boom.
Back in bed.
Yeah, back in bed. Or, you know, like maybe they've had several lucid dreams and they're able to, you know, get out and do things or whatever. But the first time something, you know, unusual, more than flying or whatever, you know, let's say they see it in a negative aspect, you know, boom, back in bed. And then maybe it's like, I don't know if I want that experience again. It's like, it's not about like, wow, okay. And you know, like, what do you want, dude? You know, it's like if it's something negative, it's sort of like,
You mean like encountering like a demon or something in a dream or something scary or
something
whatever.
Scary or whatever. Can you, nightmare like, can you... past event that you're going to relive or whatever it is that was.
So you're saying like, you know, you could respond to it as like what you just did, like, oh, how you doing?
Yeah.
What's up?
Dude, what's up? Yeah. What are you here for? What do you got to tell me? Spill it.
So ridiculous. It's ridiculous to conceive of actually having the self-control to be able, the self-possession to be able to act that way in
but
that
circumstance. But that's why little by little by little. I've had plenty of times where it was not that. It was the first part where it was like, and, you know, poof, back in bed. Oh, thank God.
So, you know. But what you said before, I want to understand what you mean. You said, like, when you, what did you say? Like the degree to which you understand or know yourself.
The degree to which you know yourself opens up the degree to which you can explore more of that infinite potential.
So you think that as you engage energy work, like through, through either trying to produce something in your life that you want to change in your environment, or through lucid dreaming or some of the other
combination
things that you
of all of those
teach
things.
Or
right.
work yeah. with or whatever, yeah, yeah, like yeah, you yeah. think all of those things are like ways in which we like they reveal ourselves, they reveal us to ourselves, or we like we come to like
we uncover those aspects of ourselves that are yeah that all of those all of the things that you're doing, you know, help you. Because here's the thing, right? It's like whenever you do any practice, it's not many people that actually observe themselves within the practice, right? It's like, here's the practice and I just go through the routine and I'm trying and I'm putting my focus on either the phenomena of the practice, whatever that brings up, or the goal of the practice or whatever that brings up. But even within that goal, how am I responding to that practice? You know, the my ego, myself, right? Mm-hmm. My little self that's here all the time, you know, that's the conscious mind, you know, how is it responding? Is it like, you know, or is it like, oh, really, you know, looking for that phenomena? Or is it, you know, all of those aspects, right? It's like, when you start realizing that, then you have some clues of how to, you know, either dissipate that stuff or build it up. You know, if you're, you know, sort of a milquetoast person, you might want to build up that aspect of excitement when you know, what is it about this practice that's driving my excitement that I really want to do this? You know, or what is it about myself that's really you know, have an aversion to this practice? You know, is it because I'm sitting in complete darkness and, you know, I can intellectualize that nothing's going to happen, but at the same time, when I'm in there, I can't help but feel this overwhelming sense of dread while I'm, you know, even getting ready to do this. And will it cause me to not do that? Or, you know, all of those things, it's like, it gives us clues of ourself and things that aren't always apparent when we just walk through our normal day, right? It becomes so like on autopilot, you know, that's part of the mindfulness or, you know, being present and all of that stuff, right? But actually understanding those aspects about ourselves, understanding our tendencies, right, toward everything in our world and how we engage our world. You know, there are certain things that piss us off and there are certain things that make us happy just because, right? We don't even know why, they just do. And certain things we like and dislike, and that's all part of the duality of this place, right? We have preferences. And why do we have preferences? What makes one thing more than another? And these are all self-explorations that come out through the practices of any kind of energy work or spiritual work, right? There's the, you know, there's the practice, there's the goal of the practice, but one of the hidden goals of all practices is to know yourself better. Tendencies, you know, the proclivity that you have, you know, coming into this world and what you've, you know, built up over time. This is who I am, right? I mean, that's hence one of the best exercises that we, that, you know, as hermeticists and others do as well, right, is the deconstruction practice, right? I have a body, but I'm not my body. You know, I have a name, but I'm not my name. I have, you know, a mind, but I'm not my mind. You know, I am, you know. So all of these things, I have emotions, but I'm not emotion. You know, I'm not these emotions. And so it's deconstructing and layering all these things off and saying, because when you get to the core of it, who are you? You know, at its core, what is your authentic self? And so, you know, these practices bring you closer and closer and closer to that step by step. And, you know, the more that you know that, it's almost like learning more strokes for swimming, right? It's like, as I do that, I understand my tendencies and I know my strengths and my weaknesses, and I'm building up my weaknesses, but I'm balancing all of those things out. I know my tendencies to run at this point or to,
right,
you know, to do this and do that. And what would be my experience if I didn't do that, if I did the opposite or I did this, or, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it opens up these new experiences for me within the context of even the same scenario. Uh-huh. And,
no, it's all good.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, when I look at those things and I engage them in that way, you know, you're getting more out of each thing than just the end result that you were trying to achieve with the practice itself. So, and it affords you, you know, the ability that if you do have some practice like lucid dreaming, when you go there, you're going to test those out, right? Because in a way to us there, I have less on the line than here. There, if I mess it up, I wake up. I'm in bed. Okay. I ruined a chance or whatever. I didn't go where I wanted to go, or I didn't do what I wanted to do. I didn't engage it in the experience it in the way that I wanted to experience. Well, I got another chance to try it. If you do it here, there's the tendency to think that, you know, oh, I really messed that up. Now I'm out of a job, or whatever,
right.
Or now I'm going to jail. Right. So something really life or death kind of tragic life experience can happen if you F it up here. Mm-hmm. And so it's a way to sort of experience it there to see what's going on and then to check it out slowly here, right? Mm-hmm. How much of that can I transition here? And, you know, to the point in incremental steps to the point where my experience has been that the practice of being in that the lucid dream space in small increments, that happens here, so that some of the things that most people would call synchronicity My understanding is because I'm in that mode of mind that things just fall into place. And I don't think of it as synchronicity anymore. I think of that as, oh, that's one more time when I used that technique here in the physical reality and it worked out. You know, how much more, what would it be like if that was happening 20% of my day or 50% of my day or 100% of my day? You know, so... And what's the experience like? And can I maneuver through that? Because, I mean, as much as we'd like to think that, it's like...
Think what?
You know, that you could just imagine something and it would happen for you. Mm-hmm. Think how disorienting that would be. Most people would freak out and, you know, they think in their... They intellectualize in their head that they'd be good with that.
Right. Do you think that that's part of why we actually like have to train to lucid dream? Mm-hmm. Because like that's part of the reason why the conscious mind is offline during dreaming for the most part is because when we're dreaming, we're in that situation.
Correct.
And so it's much more comfortable if the conscious rational mind is offline while that's happening because...
Or it's just engaging it in a way that seems like it just makes it all okay, right?
Right, yeah.
It's sort of the same reasoning that we say, like, unusual things happen to people all the time, but their rational, their conscious mind, you know, gives them a common excuse. Oh, that was just a shadow.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, I was just imagining that in my eye or whatever. Right. You know, it's way more convenient to not shake the paradigm that way than it would be to say, like, oh, geez, I don't know. What the hell was that? You know, it's like that questioning mode is like can take you down the rabbit hole really quickly, right?
Right.
And so, so I think the conscious mind does that. And it's the reason that the conscious mind, you know, if you're not lucid, but just in a regular dream, it makes everything seem like, yeah, this is the normal way. You know, my steering wheel just turned into a big flower and I'm just going to use the pedals to drive it and no big deal. And yeah. It's not a dream, it's real. You know, it just sort of, you get in there and you go with it. In a way, it is the natural, you know, it's what I'm talking about, but just not in a directed mode, right? You take it for granted that that's the way it's supposed to be. Mm. And so it's just that, you know, in a lucid dream, you get to pick the scenario and move into it in a way that's, you can explore and enjoy and, you know, and just whatever you can think of can happen. Right. And then, but also some elements of it that are, it's not like I'm moving into a picture where every aspect of the picture is known to me. So it's like that becomes boring after a while, right? You need things to interact and flow in a way that you can have some novelty there, have some, you know, certain experiences, right? I mean, otherwise it just becomes, what's the point? It's like a video game that you've played a million times and you know every route and, you know, right. Even the places that don't go anywhere, you know them. And so it's kind of like you lose interest, right? And everybody has a certain tolerance for that. Some people have a very low tolerance for that. They want to get in there and just have this very sort of white bread experience in the beginning just to kind of get in and do it and be okay and safe and feel good. And, you know, these are the people that need more control than more novelty, right? But as time goes on, you know, that expresses itself more and more and more until, you know, you're comfortable swimming. I mean, there's no difference swimming in 3 feet of water than 30 feet of water. Mm. It's the idea in your head that, you know, you're not touching the bottom in 3 feet of water either. You're swimming on the surface or just under the surface. Well, there's no difference if you're not touching the bottom between 30 and 3. Mm-hmm. Just the idea in your head is different, right? Mm-hmm. And one can induce panic and the other one, you know, is like the panic is touch the ground and see where I am. Yeah, but engaging those things in that way, I mean, I think this is the same type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you know, it's incremental and that's the way it's supposed to be because the other way would totally freak us out. Mm-hmm.
So hence the need for practice.
Hence the need for practice. Because, you know, if what I said is true, that, you know, your experiences open up to the level that you know yourself, well then practice is engage knowing yourself, right? So the more that I know myself, the better off I am.
And expand the realm of experiences that you put yourself into come to understand yourself more clearly.
Right.
whether it's through meditation or meditative practice or
whatever.
Right.
And of course, or then you know, does your spiritual practice, meditative practice, whatever, does that energetic practice actually, how does that translate into my physical reality as well, right? How do I then bring myself, how do I carry that resonance of me being in that place and being good, comfortable and confident and all of those things, and then moving that experience, that resonance into my normal physical world as well, right? How does bringing that into that and carrying it with me, how does that change the environment that I'm working in every day or engaging in every day, right? Not just at work, but at home and with my friends and playing music and doing all those things, right? So it's like, you know, can I, you know, take that and consciously bring that with me and engage in, you know, what does it do? I know it changes it. How does it change it? Does it change it for the positive, or does it show me places where I still need some work? That's not bad either. You know, it's like I may engage it in that way and then everything falls flat and I go, oh, obviously I missed a step. You know, I wasn't good enough to maneuver in a clear way through that. You know, so I just pissed somebody off, right? So if that wasn't my intention, then obviously I had the wrong expectations that my resonance would just get me through the, you know, and I'd go in for my raise and they'd be like, yeah, no problem. We'll give you double what you asked for. You know, it's like, you know, if it was like, actually, here's your green slip, you know, and it's like, see you later. Yeah. So, yeah. So it's like, oh, so I got to go back, maybe not completely to the drawing board, but I got to go back and work those things out and hopefully smaller increments so that I don't make those big mistakes here, you know. And also, even if those happen, I mean, that's the whole idea of like, this too will change, right? So change is the only constant. Everything's changing all the time. You know, you're in one scenario, it may suck, but, you know, continuing to do the practice, continuing to understand yourself more and applying yourself in a way that, you know, you're swimming through this environment and, you know, but always knowing that you're going to get to the goal that you've set for yourself, you know, but it's also not just putting all your hopes and prospects in that and trying to use more force and like, oh, I'm only thinking of the end result. And, you know, like, cause that just sets up more and more and more energetic barrier to you getting to it. Right. Cause the more I say, here's my end result, and here's me, and I want to get to that, it means there's a separation there. And the more I pour into that makes this longer, bigger, higher, thicker. Yeah. The barrier between it, right? The energetic barrier, because it's like I'm sending everything into that place, and it's more like, I'm going to get there anyway. You know, what can I do along the way? You know, here's this situation. Let me go through this and be okay with it and experience it to the best that I can. Do my best, right? It's not rose-colored glasses. It's not like, it's not even happy-go-lucky the way that I think of that term. It's like, you know, it's definitely more of a, like, I'm doing my best, but in some ways, I don't have, the only vested interest I have is that that the longer that I can sustain that idea that things will work out, then you know, every event gives me more practice at that.